From the KUNV studios in Las Vegas, you're listening to Our Metropolis, a weekly interview program with people who are changing the face of Las Vegas. And now, here is your host.
This is your host, John Katzlamitas of Greenspun Media Group. I write the Katz Report on Las Vegas Sun and LasVegasWeekly.com and contribute to all of our titles in Greenspun Media Group's vast array of publications. Our guests this week operate the Siegel Group of commercial real estate ventures, including extended stay residences, and recently the company took over Gold Spike in downtown Las Vegas, the Artisan, the Resort at Charleston, and St. Tropez across from the Hard Rock Hotel, which has since been renamed Rumor. Welcome to our metropolis, Stephen Siegel and Michael Crandall of the Siegel Group. Thanks for being here, guys.
Thanks for having us.
Stephen, I know you just got back into town from back into the country.
I did.
Where were you? What were you doing?
We were in Ibiza vacationing for the first time in 10 years.
Wow, you took an actual vacation?
I did. It was supposed to be vacation. It didn't turn out that way. But
What do you do when you're on vacation? I mean, you have to have your total.
Try and relax, have fun, go out with friends, you know.
Were you able to do that?
Not much. I had a problem when my back crown tooth fell out. I went to the dentist before I had a pain in my tooth, and they put a temporary crown on. It promised me it wouldn't fall off.
Oh, no.
First day I get there eating a sandwich, it fell off.
So your mouth is like a renovation
so
project.
I took it upon myself to go to the pharmacy, buy some cement, put it back in under serious pain, and did that a couple times.
I'm tempted to say doing this show isn't like pulling teeth, but I don't want to make that analogy.
Yeah.
Right now. Well, thanks both of you guys for being here. Young guys, you're both young men. Stephen, how old are you now?
39.
39. Michael, you're
29.
29.
He's extremely young.
Extremely young. There's a lot of youthful energy, and I ask, you guys have embarked on a very ambitious business venture in taking over all of these hotels that I listed at the top. Just tell me, first, Stephen, what was behind your decision to enter into this type of a resort renovation project across the valley?
Is across all the hotels or just
let's just talk about all of them first.
You know,
we'll talk Rumor.
I don't think it was a plan that we sat down and planned out. I think it was sort of opportunity that came to us, and it came together. Starting off with Gold Spike as being our first hotel in town that was a casino, and you know, we thought that, you know, the worse the property looks to us, the more opportunities there, because the more other buyers are scared of the property. I think that, you know, when we see certain properties or certain things that attract us to it, which is obviously the location, the upside potential that's there, the value that we think that's going to be there in Vegas in some time to come, obviously not today, but in the future. I think that, you know, as we started to get the appetite for hotels, the appetite grew a little bigger and opportunities started to come our way. And obviously if they made sense at that time, then we would we'd execute on them.
I've said about you guys, you're attracted to dreck, where people are maybe afraid to even look at a property and be repelled by it. Your company goes after it. Is it a fair assessment?
Yeah, I think that, you know, I don't think we're developers. I think we're more like redevelopers. We like to redevelop properties, and sometimes I think it's harder because you just don't know what you're getting into. You don't know what's gone on the property. You haven't been there for years. You don't know the good and the bads of the property. You try and do the best inspections and do the best you can to know what's going on with the property, but you just don't know. There's no machine you could take the property and stick it into, and it would tell you everything that's going to go wrong. So I think, you know, obviously we sometimes go over our budgets on stuff like that. We want to make sure the property is right. We want to make sure that they're going to look right for the customer and be able to satisfy the customer's needs and service. And
yeah, I'll ask both of you this too, and Michael, you're essentially the associate, the deputy in this operation, right?
Is that one of a few.
It takes a lot of good people, just so you know, to be able to keep this thing going.
And it's a very young and dynamic collection of
Absolutely.
People around you. Let's talk about the Gold Spike first, since that's the first that started this chain of events. When did you guys really decide that was going to be something you wanted to invest in? And can you describe what you were looking at physically when you got into the Gold Spike? It was a hotel that had been, frankly, pretty ignored for quite a while.
Forever. Yeah, the Gold Spike was, I guess they're all challenging in its own ways. I hate to say it's one of our most challenging, but it was pretty bad. I remember actually standing with Steve and a couple other people on the roof of an apartment building, which I won't name, like diagonal across the street, and we were staring at it for the first time when we first heard that it was possibly up for sale, and we were just staring at it, and We were like, do we really want to buy that piece of trash, kind of? But you know what? It was awesome. That day and the next week and 2 weeks we spent just going in and out of it. I mean, it was scary in there, you know?
Describe what you saw when you
clouds
first went
in. Clouds of smoke, basically a crack haven, you know, a lot of homeless people mm-hmm. with bags.
A lot of crime, a lot of drugs, just, you know, just a haven for people, homeless people going in there. There was no supervision. We call that the customers, or in the apartment business, the tenants had taken over the property. Mm. And, you know, I think mm-hmm. the first thing you got to do is take back the property. And you know,
semi-hostile takeover.
100%. You know, that's what happens. And it was being run by the customers, whether they were paying customers or non-paying customers. They were in there and uh-huh. they had taken over the place and there was no supervision.
How do you address that as somebody wants to invest time and resources? I mean, what's the first move to get the clientele to change and
it happens extremely fast. I think once they know that you come in there and you're not playing around and you're not going to tolerate, you know, any kind of crime or any kind of customers that are going to be doing, you know, illegal activities or anything like in there, they know, you know, when you shine the light on those activities, things go right pretty quick. And, you know, that's what we're known mm-hmm. for, especially in apartment buildings, cutting down the trees, getting rid of the pay phones and opening and exposing the building up to sunlight and, you know, letting people know on the street.
Literally shedding a light on it.
Correct. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. You know, they run from that. So
we use the term plugging it back in. I mean, you literally got to plug the building back into, you know, plug mm-hmm. the electrical back into the socket and the building turns back on. And then, you know, the bad people kind of scatter.
So, I hate to use the obvious metaphor, but it's like cockroaches.
It is.
I mean,
yeah.
That's what it seems
it is.
Like.
Yeah.
I mean, and literally cockroaches probably in these cases, because it was the Travelodge, it was connected to Gold Spike, was latent. There was nothing happening.
Run down. Right? Vandals had broken there and stole the copper out of the building, out of the wiring and the electrical, the wiring and the air conditionings, the wiring and the elevator. They'd mm-hmm. scavengered the whole building. It sat there with no security or anything. And
mm-hmm. and we stress, of course, that this is the condition, how you found it. And it's beautiful today, what you guys have done down there. It's an incredible renovation project. But you have to appreciate that. I think you have to remember what it was like down there. And those of us, I think I told Michael this story. I was down there on New Year's Eve about a decade ago. as part of a project we were doing on the Millennium. It was the 98 to 99 New Year's. It was the scariest place I walked into down there. I went into all of them, Western and El Cortez and all the others. That was a place where I really distinctly remember feeling unsafe.
Yeah. I think the difference between the Gold Spike and the Western is, you know, what we thought was a location. Being next to Lady Luck, which something was going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Being next to Streamline, which something was going
to
happen. Being next mm-hmm. to Indianapolis, which something was going to happen. Unfortunately, those things took a little bit longer and still going to happen. But
they're happening at various
being next
levels.
To City Hall, maybe an arena, all these things that were kind of circling around, being able to, you know, have a piece of property where we vacated the alley and, you know, we got the alley and have and be able to connect the travel in and all the parking lots mm-hmm. and having that whole sort of square of property there to be able to for future development, you know, in the future. And you know, we thought at that time that it was obviously the right move. Obviously, looking back today, we definitely overpaid for the property. You know, that's you know, as long as you have better deals than not better deals, you're ahead. So
right. Volume.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
That's real estate.
They don't always work out, right? You have to lose some hands.
But you got to make them work out, you know? Uh-huh. I mean, we're there every day.
As long as the ones that don't work out aren't bigger than the ones that work out.
You have to calculate that, right, when you're making these kinds of
moves.
Some of them aren't going to work out as forecast.
I mean, you like to think they're all going to work out, but, you know, mm-hmm. sometimes they don't. And when they don't, you have to go back in there and figure them out.
Yeah. Let's talk about Rumor, just open. You guys are very pleased that it's open. Finally.
Yeah,
Michael has a look of absolute relief on your face.
No, we love Rumor. That uh-huh. you know, we look at that as our flagship property of all mm-hmm. our hotels in town. Rumor is something that Vegas, we believe, has needed for a long time. There's nothing like it in Vegas. So mm-hmm. far in the short, you know, 30 days it's been open, the feedback's been unbelievable. We haven't had someone walk out of there and not, you know, absolutely love the place.
Uh-huh.
Rumor is similar to a boutique hotel you would find in Los Angeles or Miami mm-hmm. or New York
right.
or Chicago. For years and years, all the hotels in Las Vegas were built vertical. Rumor is not like that. You know, we feature a courtyard at Rumor that is just extremely intimate and you know, brings togetherness. All the customers mm-hmm. are together, all the events and fashion shows and nightlife we have in the courtyard just kind of bring the whole property
right.
together.
That courtyard is the back area where the pool space.
Correct.
Cabanas.
Correct.
And then, how many total suites and
150.
150 total?
Yeah, 150 total.
You've got suites coming, right?
Yeah.
They're still being
they're coming in about 2 weeks.
Well, and they're really not suites because every room at the property
they're
is a suite.
Mm-hmm.
This is more of like sort of a you know, enlarged, we call them the Fantastic Four, which is more like a penthouse sort of suite. They're all going to be different, and they're a lot larger than the normal mm-hmm. suites that are on the property.
And you turn the design of these suites over to a familiar name, right?
Mark Tracy. Who did a few of the rooms at Hard Rock.
Hard Rock, the new Hard Rock Tower.
Correct.
Across the street.
Correct.
I do want to say, though, we used Tandem design for all the other rooms, mm-hmm. the regular suites, and our lobby, and they did an unbelievable job.
Yeah. They also did the work for us at Gold Spike and are helping us in Artisan in Mount Charleston. They do a great job.
Yeah.
Wow. So let's talk. We have gotten used to this in Las Vegas of places opening behind schedule or behind the appointed time, whether it's a resort or show or whatever, a showroom. Why did that happen at Rumor? You guys, I know it was about at least a month behind.
Yeah, it was about a month. And just, you know, that's pretty typical with any construction job. I mean, there's so many variables. And, you know, when you say, you know, oh, our timeline to open is, you know, June 1st and you don't open to June 15th or July 1st, it's normal. I mean, it's everything from, you know, the county inspections coming in or the city mm-hmm. inspections, wherever you're working in this mm-hmm. particular project happened to be in the county. You know, county. They come in and they see something and they want you to change it. And it takes, you know, then you got to get bids. Then you got to hire someone to do it. Then you got to do the work. Mm-hmm. Then you got to get it inspected again. I mean, all that just takes time, you know. And these things happen all the time, whether it's that or, you know, Steve in particular is likes to change things a lot. He walks in and, you know, it might look perfect to someone else, but if he doesn't like the color red and he wants to change it to blue, he's going to walk in and change it.
Or purple.
Or purple.
And I think there's more. I think that, you know, once again, you don't know what you're going to run into. You don't know mm-hmm. when you're ready to open, something comes up that you didn't know you had to fix or change or update a code, or, you know, the county or the fire department comes in and says, mm-hmm. you know what, this has to be upgraded, not the last second. We go, whoa, you know, we were planning on open. We didn't know we have to do these things. Or,
what's their response when you tell them that?
I mean, obviously, they've worked great with us. I think, you know, their interest is aligned with ours. We want to give people jobs. We want to be open. We want to generate income. We want to be open. But certain things have to happen. It has to be safe.
Right.
On mm-hmm. our end, it has to be right. If a property's not right to me, and today the property's still not 100% finished, but I think the property has to be right. It has to be what I call perfect in my mind. I can't sell anything that I believe in. I can't promote it to be able to get you to come there if I don't 100% believe it. If it's not right for me, I have to change it to make it right. It's got to be right in my mind to be able to sell it to the customer.
Aside from the Fantastic Four, the completion of those suites, what else needs to be done?
There's some furniture that's going to be going out in the courtyard, some seating mm-hmm. areas, some mm-hmm. seating areas out by the pool, outdoor bar that we're still doing, signage out front, lighting that's going to go out front. We just now finished the entrance area and some of the landscaping. But, you know, we wanted to get open. This is one of the only properties since I've been doing this that we completely shut down to renovate. Mm-hmm. Like Gold Spike, we keep it open. It costs us a little bit more money, but closing a business is like killing something. Mm-hmm. And even if it's open a little bit, it's life in the business. And you can have people in there and people moving around. When it's closed, it's so much harder to open back up mm-hmm. and rev it up and you know, get it going.
But what you did at Saint-Tropez would have been impossible to keep that open in any kind of a...
It would have.
Sensible
I mean,
way,
right? it could have been done, but it would have been difficult. So we mm-hmm. made the decision to do that. And when you do that, you don't have any employees. You got to gear up. You got to train. You mm-hmm. don't have anything set up. You don't have any reservation. You don't have anything. So, you know, it becomes a lot harder to open.
What's your relationship? Because of your obvious physical proximity, you're a compliment to the Hard Rock Towers, Hard Rock Hotel, right across the street.
I mean,
and which seems to be ideal mm-hmm. in a lot of ways, because you're getting a lot of natural traffic over there and a lot mm-hmm. of like business. Mm-hmm. What is your relationship like with the hotel?
I think our relationship's great. You know, we have a few former ex-employees of Hard Rock,
mm-hmm.
and you know, they've kept that relationship going with Hard Rock, and they send us some of their overflow business when they're sold out, and we send them obviously our customers that want to, you know, dine in their restaurants mm-hmm. or check out their spa and gym or, you know, so.
Or gamble.
of course.
To us, we're basically, you know, I don't think we compete at all with them. We have a totally different product. I think it only enhances them. And when customers come to them, they can come check us out and vice versa. And mm-hmm. we're totally different. So I think we actually complement each other.
Right. Is there any formal cross-promotion going on, cross-marketing going on
right now? There's not at this, there's other not than this
them,
moment.
Other than them just sending you business. But it's certainly an implied location, logistic mm-hmm. Issue with that, because they're right there. I mean, mm-hmm. it just lends itself. Mm-hmm. I think we've talked about this before. It reminds me a lot of what they've designed to be, like Palms Place and Palms has at the Palms.
Correct.
Except they just don't happen to be under different ownership. Right.
Mm-hmm. Correct. Well, except once again, those things are very similar. You know, they're obviously, you know, they're similar. Mm-hmm. Whereas our product and their product is so different. And I think that, you know, the customer can come and enjoy both.
That back courtyard over at Rumor, you've talked a lot about having, you know, the fashion shows and having some sort of music. What are you really looking at specifically now that it's open to do back there?
You know, we have all different nice plans. Obviously, on the weekends, we're going to have more, I hate to use the word nightclub, but more nightclub type of parties and events going on. Mm-hmm. During the week, we have some really cool ideas planned that have not been executed yet, but I'll give you a sneak peek of a couple. We're thinking to do a wine tasting and movie night where we're gonna have a big projector screen in the courtyard. Oh, wow. And put blankets mm-hmm. on the grass, and people can come drink different wines that we're offering that night and watch movies. Some mornings we're going to be doing yoga on the grass. Another great idea we have that we're just throwing around is right. Is doing like a breakfast on the courtyard, like eating cereal on picnic, you know, blankets, and just fun stuff that, you know, locals can enjoy and the guests that are staying there are going to love too.
You said that nightclub isn't a term that you want to use necessarily to apply to the back area there. Why is that?
Yeah, no, I don't see us as competing with, again, the same way I don't really see us as competing as far as hotel rooms go or as far as our property goes with the big box casinos or the strip. I just don't see us competing with the big nightclubs on the strip either. I just think mm-hmm. that just like the Artisan, the after hours we have at the Artisan and other events we have at the Artisan, they're just unique. They're different. They're a little bit more boutique to use the term. So I just try not to term what we have going on the same as what's going on the strip.
You're listening to Our Metropolis. This is John Katzelmeadis with Steve Siegel and Michael Crandall of the Siegel Group of Las Vegas. They're doing a lot of work all over the place, all over the valley right now. Tell me about what's happening at Artisan. What's one of our favorite, you know, maybe unvarnished treasures in Las Vegas?
It is especially a treasure. I think that's a great question. I think that you know, our restaurant mood that we've brought a new chef in. We've renamed the restaurant. We've brought in a whole new staff. The food is amazing. You know, mm-hmm. we're starting to get the word out there for people to come in and try the restaurant. The bar has always had mm-hmm. a following. You know, some people had some bad taste in their mouth of what's gone on. We've tried to get that word of mouth back out there that we've cleaned up the place. Mm-hmm. We have, you know, better people there to serve them, more customer friendly. We've started a happy hour in the bar in there. Right. We've opened up our pool, which we've redid the whole pool, the mm-hmm. cabanas. We have certain pool parties that we have out at the pool with DJs. We have DJs in the bar at night for our after hours. We're bringing in cigar night where we're bringing a certain kind of music and a cigar smoke, and we're doing mm-hmm. a wine and cheese night there. So we're starting to bring all kinds of events in there. We've remodeled all the rooms. We changed all the mattresses, the sheets, the towels, the air conditioners. Everything was just horrible. So
it was in worse shape than I thought it was.
It was in terrible shape from the restaurant equipment in the back to the place hadn't been, you know, fixed in years. The things that count, the air conditioners, the restaurant mm-hmm. equipment, just I can go on and on. And we're still struggling with some of the stuff that, once again, we don't know is bad until you really start getting into it. So
right now we're
currently painting the building. We're going to be changing signage. We're going to change some awnings on the property, re-landscaping it. And we continue to just improve the property. You know, to us, and to me, it's very important to have curb appeal and the property look good. And when someone come in mm-hmm. there, it's clean. And so,
and are you able to spend as much sufficient energy on this? Because as you describe just what you're doing at Artisan, on top of what you're doing at Rumor, how can you divide your energy and make sure that that's taken care of?
Well, you got to start with a lot of energy
and no sleep.
And no sleep. Yeah.
But it sounds like it's, I mean, seriously, it's a...
Yeah, you know, it's...
Are you afraid of burning out? Maybe that's my question.
No, I love what I do. It's a challenge every day. And, you know, I wake up in the morning, I work out, and I can't wait to get to work to do it all over again.
Mm-hmm.
Every day, as much of it as I can get. I love doing it.
Let's talk about the resort at Charleston. This is another place that I felt like hasn't been widely appreciated by people, especially outside of Las Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think they realize it even exists.
You're right.
What kind of when did you exactly take it over?
It's been almost 2 years now.
Okay, and describe. Describe if you would what kind of condition that place was in and what you've done out up there.
Same sort of stuff.
Same, yes. It falls in line with all the other properties that we take over. You know, it was a property we saw as a diamond in the rough. We went up there. We couldn't believe a type of place like that existed mm-hmm. up there. And when you walk in, you know, the carpet's 20 years old, the mattresses, the beds, mm-hmm. the rooms, the lobby, the restaurant, the menu, the chef, the employees. You know, some of them were good.
The management,
horrible. For the most part, the management was no good at all. So we came in, we assessed the situation, we basically restaffed the place where necessary, brought in a new chef who's great, did an entire new menu. We completely renovated the exterior of the property, and in the coming, you know, next 6 months to a year, we're going to start working on the inside and fixing up the lobby. A lot of the rooms are already done. But for the most part, it's just your typical walk in there, and it just needs TLC, you know, it needs someone to come in and fix the place up.
What it also needs is amenities, which we're working on now. We're putting plans together to build a pool out there. We're going to build a plank that goes over the cliff where you can get married on, maybe some sort of, you know, putting green or a miniature golf course around the property. Things that give you activities so people can stay there a little bit longer. So people come here, they eat. They take in the atmosphere and the fresh view and all that, and then they really have nothing to do. So if we have a pool there where someone can relax for the weekend, read a book, hang out, have a drink, it'll keep the people up there.
What's the status of the golf course that was up there? Is it it's
nothing, but from what we've been told by the Forest Service, is the visitor center has been approved and funded, and that's going to be connected to us, and that should start. We were told December this year, building. So, which should help, a nice visitor center connected to the hotel.
That would help. And when are you going to embark on any kind of big marketing push for that property in particular? Because I feel like a lot of people simply, as I said, just don't realize that there's anything up there.
Yeah, you know, believe it or not, we get I get copied on a lot of the emails that come through with customers, whether they're good emails or bad, and we get a lot of people inquiring about having weddings there. I mean, our banquet and wedding business does exceptionally well there. We've had some of our best months ever since we've had the property. Yeah. You know, being able to service people with events. And
I got married out there.
Did you?
Yeah.
Great. It's great. It's beautiful. I mean, it's beautiful up there, and it's one of a kind. So, you know, once again,
even with all those problems, I still got married up there. Yeah. and I knew the problems, and I still got married out there.
It's beautiful. It's beautiful.
It's the scenery. Yeah.
Yeah.
I had family coming. Bad. This is it. You know, you had family coming in from Idaho, and they went up there, and they're like, wow, this looks like Idaho.
Yeah.
Here, you know?
Yeah.
So you have a lot to work with anyway.
Absolutely.
You touched on something that I think Michael said about the big box effect in Las Vegas, and you guys are right there on that Harmon Corridor that leads westbound into some big boxes.
Yep, you got
Planet Hollywood, and then you go right into
the biggest box.
The biggest 9 billion box known to man, and that's a city center.
Yeah.
Well, here we are. We've had city center open for a number of months now. You guys are now at Rumor. You get a chance to assess the dynamic. Did Las Vegas just naturally outgrow its use for these type of mega resorts?
I think today it has. Mm-hmm. I think that, you know, once again, it's just another big box with a different theme, you know, a different look to it, just different design, but it's all basically the same. They're not giving the customer anything different. It's all the same. And you get a lot of people that come to town and don't want to be tied up on the strip, walk through the big casino, wait 30 minutes for valet. They just don't want to do it. And that's why, you know, I think, you know, a lot of those smaller hotels on Paradise do really well because, you know, they got a lot of convention business and it's easier access to get to. So,
and your office is down there.
And our office is right there. And so we'll see it. And, you know, I think that, you know, we're sort of a cross between what you can get on the strip and what you can get on Paradise, because on Paradise, they're very vanilla and those are boring. So if we can, you know, give the customer something right in the middle that's not the strip and not something boring on Paradise.
Right.
You know, that's kind of what we're looking to do.
Yeah, Michael, you mentioned some cities earlier that have the boutique hotels.
Yeah.
And you've been at all the places at City Center, right?
Yeah.
No appeal for you?
You know, I personally love City Center. They put great restaurants in there that I enjoy and I like to eat out. But, you know, just to touch on Steve's point, you know, when you walk in City Center, then you go across the street to Planet Hollywood or any of these down the strip. Yeah, there's different designs and different looks, but, you know, the same chefs in every every one of these hotels. And it's just the same idea and same concept.
Same chef's name, maybe.
Yeah. Same nightclub with the DJ they had last week down the street. This DJ went down the street here.
To keep touching on what Steve said, I mean, we pride ourselves in, you know, from the time you get out of the cab in our Portico Share area in front of Rumor to the time to get to your room, you can get there in under 2 minutes.
Right.
I mean, that's just impossible anywhere on the strip. And, you know, people really do look for that. You know, you get exhausted in Vegas and, you know, stay at Rumor and take a nice drive right down the corridor and go gamble and go hang out at City Center or any of those properties. But at the end of the night, you're going to want to, you know, a lot of people want to come back to Rumor and have just, you know, the front desk person greet them when they walk through the door and just have an easy, nice walk to your room, and you can be under the covers and, like I said, under 2 minutes, and it's nice.
And it's a lot easier to manage your staff at a place like Rumor. There's a lot fewer
Yeah, I mean,
possibilities for things going haywire with just because of the numbers, right?
It is.
Yeah.
It is.
Yeah, we still have 90 employees there, which we hired, you know, we started with zero when we took over, and we hired 90 new employees for the place, and still a lot of employees to get walking on the straight line, but a lot easier to get 90 people walking on a straight line than 1,500 or 2,000.
You told me before this opened, when we were doing one of the walkthroughs, that they should know everybody's name. Who checks into the hotel, I think it was, who were staying at the hotel. Have they followed through? Been able to train them to do that?
We're close. We're close. Yeah. Hey, you know,
it's always a work in progress.
Yeah, it's always a work in progress. But you know, I can tell you that if you have a reservation at Rumor, you know, we're expecting you when you come through the door, and we're happy to have you, and we have a room ready for you, and we do know you're coming, and you will be greeted.
Yeah, appropriately.
We also have that 5 o'clock meet and greet where all the managers from the different departments come out and with warm nuts, and we come out with a house drink, and we come and greet the customers and meet them and see how their experience is going.
How often, Stephen, are you going to be able to check in personally on these places?
I check in every day to a lot of the properties from morning to night to the middle of the night, making sure lights are on the properties. Mm-hmm.
I know guys who are, you know, some of the casino executives in the city who have a lot of history here, like Bill Boyd and Steve Wynn, will just go in unannounced.
I go in all the time at all hours of the night, all hours of the day. I'd like to know all my employees at all shifts. Now being in the business, never before, that's 24 hours. You know, I do go in the middle of the night, and I want to make sure that our security guards are there, they're dressed appropriately, they're dealing with the customers correctly, and making sure that there are no lights off shining on the building. I want to make sure everything is right. It's important to me.
You, in an interview we've done previous to this also, I think I asked you about the trajectory of Las Vegas has changed a lot. You know, we're out of that big mega resort. What's going to be the next big thing? And now it's kind of going, what can be the next cool boutique-y thing? Mm-hmm. And in the way that Wynn helped usher in that previous era, do you see yourself as the person who's kind of leading the trend in the boutique direction?
Yeah, I do. I think, you know, I think that once again, we have the only boutique properties in town. A lot of people can say they're boutique. I think that we have the true boutique properties in there. You know, I think that, you know, we want to pioneer that and be the leader to do that. I think that, you know, it takes a lot of work, and we're definitely putting the time in to do that. I think that a lot of things are changing in town. I think a lot of things are happening, and there's new people coming in town, old people leaving, and you know, we're obviously here to stay. We love Vegas, and you know, we like to work on niche businesses, and you know, that's definitely what we look for, from our apartment chain all the way to our boutique hotels.
Right. Well, you've certainly put your money behind that contention, and your energy and everything else.
Our money and our time.
Well, we're out of time here, speaking of that. And I just thank you guys both for coming down. I know you're extremely busy, and you got a lot going on, and it's a pleasure to talk to you again.
Thanks for having us. Appreciate it.
For all of us at our Metropolis, this is John Katsoulamidis reminding you to stay tuned for Observations.
Thank you for joining us for our Metropolis. Join us again next Tuesday at 6 p.m. for our Metropolis.